I'm so excited to bring you God's word again today. And I trust you are ready to receive. And I trust your heart is open to receive God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. We've been on a conversation for weeks now. This will be my fifth hour. That is 5 weeks we have been on this conversation talking about the receiving the good things that God had in store for us. And simple steps of faith, the steps to guide us to receive the good things that God has in store for us. Things we should do, things where we play, areas in our lives where we would probably need to make adjustments. Things we need to know. We've been looking at these things because we're just walking through with the children of Israel from Egypt, walking with them from Egypt and to Canaan. And we've been looking at some steps, right? And last week, we've done a lot of work. Last week we looked at two steps, basically, 6 and 7. And today I'm not going to go any further. I think I'm going to spend some time in step number 7. But remember step number 6. Are you here? You're taking notes? Your obedience will be required. Come on. Step number 6. Your obedience will be required. We've talked about a great deal of stuff. Step number 1 to 5. The messages are online. They are on the YouTube channel. They are on Mixel. And you can go back and listen to them. They'll be a great blessing to you. I'm not going to do a recap today. Last week I did a total recap. We started from step number 1 down to step number 6. And today I'm just going to jump on from step number 6. Your obedience will be required. Because I want to spend some time in step number 7. And I think it's very important we consider that step. Very important step. So in step number 6 we said your obedience will be required. And we considered the instructions that God gave to the children of Israel concerning the Passover feast. Concerning the Passover feast. We find that in Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 1. From verse number 1, we see the Lord came to Moses and then began to talk to Moses about the things they should do. How they should get a lamb, slaughter the lamb, roast the lamb, don't boil the lamb, make bitter herb, sauce with bitter herb, eat with the bitter herbs, then eat the food dressed, you know, roasted, make sure nothing is left over. You see all those instructions there. And we said that your cooperation with God, your obedience to those instructions, they will be required. You'll be required to do some things. He will speak to your heart. I think this again is a step where we can meet God, where we say, I told you last week, we say God is working. God is working. God is doing it. And everybody says God is working in your life. God is doing it. If you're spoken to God about it, then He's walking behind the scene. A lot of Christians go with the God is walking behind the scene, and they miss the point where they miss the fact that then God will want them to do something at the front end, in front of the scene. Are you here? We talked about the back end and the front end. So God is walking behind the scene at the back end. You are walking on the front end. And so He tells them to eat this food like this. What is the significance? To make this thing, make this bread, unleavened bread, don't forget the unleavened bread part, then the bitter herbs part and all that. What is the significance? Come on, if you are walking in my life, you want to save me, just save me. Come on, just save me. After all, the pastor said God is working in my life. Yes, it's important. God is working in your life and He gives you instructions. And He says, okay, just do this. And many times, and we said that the reason why we don't do it is because it's not because the things that He asks of us are hard. We don't see the connection. We try to want to wrap our heads around it and say, if you want this thing done, number one, you can do it. Number two, there's no connection. There's no connection between the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread, the roasted lamb, and then delivering us from Egypt. What's the connection? So many a times, I told you, it's very simple. Many a times, the reason why we don't do the things God wants us to do is because there's no connection. It's not because the things are hard. Come on. We said that there's no connection. It's not because they are hard. It's because we want to see a connection. If I say, for example, if you say there's a gulf here, and I say you have to jump, you see the gulf, you understand you have to jump. You cannot cross it. You cannot just walk across it. So you would most likely agree to jump. Come on. But now, you said you want to deliver me from Egypt. The Egyptians are there in their houses, and you are telling me to eat roasted meats, bitter herbs, gum. There's no connection. But we don't need to understand what he's doing at the back end. The instructions he gives us at the front end is very, very important, and they are necessary. Your obedience will be required for you to enter into your deliverance. There will be instructions given to you. You will receive instructions. Point number 6 and point number 7, they are very, very important. These two steps are very important, and I'm going to explain to you why. So you need to pay attention. And we considered carefully, we looked at rather the story of Naaman, and then how he came to the prophet, and the prophet said, alright, go deep in the Jordan 7 times. Simple instruction. You would, I know that we know the story very well and we're very familiar with it, but the issue is that let not just be too familiar with it and say, look at what the man is doing, that man is not serious. Let's consider our own lives. The instruction was very simple, but instead the man is angry because he doesn't see the connection. The first thing we see is that he doesn't see the connection between being free of leprosy and dipping in the river Jordan. Come on, he doesn't see the connection. I mean, there's water everywhere. I've been bathing. I've been doing all manner of stuff. So there's no connection. So the reason why he will not obey, very important, the reason why he will not obey is not because the thing said that the prophet told him to do is hard, but it is because he doesn't see the connection. He doesn't see the reason why he has to do that. Are you here? It's easy. We're not asked to go and get the teeth of an alligator and the eyes of tortoise. I don't know what alligator and tortoise always gets involved, but they're always involved. You wouldn't tell people right now, I love you to the moon and back. It's impossible. If he asks you, I want to deliver you, but go to the moon and come back, we'll say that is hard. I'm not an astronaut. I have to get a ship. I have to get that stuff. That is a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing. So he says, I want to deliver you, but you need to go to the moon first and come back, then I will deliver you. We will say he gives us a hard task. We will say, I cannot do it, so therefore I cannot be delivered. The burden you've laid on me to help me now is too hard. But no, nothing like that. He just says, stay in your house, put on your clothes, eat this food like this, eat this stuff. But we don't do it. So why don't we do it? And we said the reason why we are looking at this point is that it was very, very important. Israelites that did not do that thing, did not do the eat the Passover, follow those instructions, they wouldn't have come out of Egypt. Come on, they would have suffered destruction. I don't have a record of one or two people who did not do it. But if they didn't do it, then they won't come out. And so they could be there praying. They could take step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. But if they're not going to obey God's instructions, obey His words, then they're not going to go cross into the promised land. They're not going to be free of Egypt. And it's very important that we embrace obedience. Come on. Are you here? It's not about understanding it. It's not about getting the connection. It's not hard. We're not asked to do something hard. Naaman, go deep in the Jordan 7 times. That's not hard. So why would he be angry? Stop. Why was he even angry at all? Think. Why? Because there was no connection. Because he expected God to do it in a certain way. He said he was supposed to come out and then wave his hand. He saw a connection there. He saw the waving of hand, moving his hand, doing all that external gyration. He saw that there as, that would be a means. But telling me to go to the Jordan, it doesn't work. And to dip specifically again now, 7 times. I could dip once and be clean. Come on. Why 7 times? We could eat the roasted meat with sweet, beautiful, nice soup sauce with tomatoes. But no, he says bitter herbs. Why? I can't give you that why. That's the truth. I can't give you the why of that. I don't know why he wants to do that way. But that's what he said. And you should learn to obey. You should learn to obey. We must see that our obedience will be required for our deliverance. Your obedience will be required for your deliverance. In whatever condition you are in, don't just stop. The thing why this is important is that many believers don't stop. They pray, they say, release faith towards God, but they don't understand that they are going to have to walk with God. They're going to have to obey God. Many believers again are not even expecting an instruction. They're not expecting to hear anything. What they are expecting is that they will pray, they will kabash, then somebody will tell them God is doing it, God is working, and that they will not need to walk, they will not need to do anything, then you just go. But again, he says, I want you to do this. I am doing this. I'm doing something on the spiritual side. I'm doing something on the back end. I'm doing something you cannot see. Now, I want you to do this. The connection between this and that, but do it. Come on. We must understand that. That's why I say that step is your obedience is required. Required. It's not God is doing it. Come on. God is doing it, and so you walk away. No, your obedience will be required for your deliverance. There will be something he will tell you to do. Whatever it is, like Mary now said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Come on. Stay with me. Are you still here? The Israelites did not need to eat anything. They didn't need to kill anything. He could deliver them without doing anything. Right? Naaman could be there and he could come and say, you are free. He could even say you are free from inside and he would be clean. He didn't need to dip in the river. There's no point there. Come on. It was not the river that cleaned that man. Come on. Are you in church? It was not the river that made the man clean. Okay, then the water part. Whatsoever I ask you to do, do it. They didn't need to do anything. He should just say, go dip that stuff in that jug. Draw out and there will be something inside. Come on. Don't be limiting God now. He didn't need to turn water to wine. If somebody, because some of you didn't get up and say, no, they have to put water. You see, because the story is in your mind. You say, they have to put water. They have blood. No. If somebody can turn water to wine, do you think they need to fetch water in the first place? They didn't need to fetch water. Your obedience will be required. Are you here? Your obedience will be required. He just wants you to play. You're going to play a role in your deliverance. You're going to do something. And when you know this, because I am conscious of this, and because you have learned this now, you will walk with God. You walk with God. You will begin to obey. You begin to wait to hear His voice. I wait to hear His voice. I'm saying, all right, there's these things I want you to do where I'm going. All right, I'm waiting to hear your voice. And what you say I should do, I'll do it. I know these things are not hard. I may not like them. I may not even see the connection between business prosperity, business expansion, calabalata, business to the next level, and forgiving somebody. Or giving to somebody. Or doing something extra, just doing something in church. I don't even see the connection. I thought that you said my business will expand. And now you are saying I should do it. Now I'm hearing to do this. When you know that your obedience will be required in your deliverance, you would wait to hear His voice and open your heart to obey. Come on. He doesn't need anything. I'm going over it again on purpose because you need to get that. He doesn't need anything. You could get the wine without even filling those stuff with water. You could. Doesn't need that. Doesn't need it, but he wants us to walk with him. So watch out for your obedience. Watch out for your obedience. And then if this is not just a matter of watch out to hear his voice and to obey him, then if you are now in disobedience, you're actually hindering yourself. Whatsoever he wants you to do, do it. You step out and do it. So we need to stop and ask ourselves why the man was angry at all. Why was there even an atom of anger? Why was there an atom of anger at all? No, not because it was hard. It was because he didn't see a connection. He didn't see a connection. He didn't understand it. We're not asked to do something hard. Why did he want to? He was angry. He went to disobey. Not because they sent him to do something impossible. No, they just sent him to do something very simple, but he didn't see a connection. He had his own way by which he thought God would do it for him. Or rather, God was walking. He didn't need to walk. Somehow obedience is required. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. I told you that last week. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Rise up, take up your bed and walk. The Bible says his spirit entered into me. In Ezekiel chapter number 2. His spirit entered me into me and I stood to my feet. So we need to say, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Spirit will enter into you and you stand up. I'm telling you, you can do a man of faith. You know, believers, you know, when I don't try to just follow the flow, because you follow the flow, few people get results, and maybe the reason that's why we're not getting so much results in the body of Christ, especially in Nigeria. You don't want to obey. God is doing it, and you see the person, God is doing it, and he's doing something else. They could be outside playing football. Rather than having a relationship with God and doing what God wants them to do, they're doing anything. I'm saying, people are like, what are you doing? They're like, don't worry, they prophesied. The matter is said, God will do it. I went for this meeting and they prophesied heavily on me. And then they are there and they are stuck and they're wondering why they are stuck. And then they begin to wonder. And then they say, okay, I know what I need. I need intensified prayer. It's not intensified prayer, it's simple obedience. It's not, you don't need more prayer. Stop, because when people are trying to say, let us pray more, let us increase the hours, let us, it's not more prayer only, right? He could say he wants more prayer. I don't know if that's your case, but it's not more prayer. Are you walking in obedience? Because your obedience would be required for your deliverance. It would be required. So there are areas in your life where you are missing God. Just step up and do it. Say, this thing has me to do, I don't see the connection, I don't see it. This thing in my heart, come on. The Spirit bears witness to our spirits. This thing in my heart that is talking to me about, I really don't see it. Just do it. It might even seem contrary. Just do it. I don't see how somebody wants to deliver people from Egypt. How they are eating bitter herbs. But God, at least for, we have a glimpse, we have a little understanding of the fact that what they were doing was a type of Jesus Christ. The Passover lamb. This is the Lamb of God. Come on. We have an idea of that. And remember, I told you that last week also about how they have to apply the blood. They kill the lamb. If they don't apply the blood, it's another matter entirely. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
When you think about it, they could kill the lamb, eat the thing, roast the thing, eat the thing, and not apply the blood. Will he not know who killed lamb and who did not kill lamb? Why must they put the blood there? He has to see blood. If he doesn't see, he will not know. The reason for that is all that long story. It's for us to be able to say that we need to obey God today. That's what I'm sharing with you now. We need to walk in obedience. We need to walk in obedience. So if you follow the instruction, you read that passage, you see serious, some significant, small, tiny, detailed instruction. When you read that, you could just read past it and say, okay, that's a good story. It's not a good story. You need to learn obedience. Sometimes it might not be something, it's about something, you, obedience, something he wants you to do. He says, I want you to change. I want you to stop doing this thing. And you are praying for increase, you are praying for whatever you are praying for. And then I want you to start doing this. You, start doing this thing in your life or stop doing this thing. Simple. Obedience is required. Sometimes we bother about so much about our village people. And forget about our own obedience. We make village people so strong. And that's something that annoys me. Village people are not so strong. The guy is stuck there. And he's looking for who is doing me. What about if it's your disobedience that is holding you there? If it were possible, I'm just thinking, if you were writing a movie. You're writing a movie, you, if it is possible, because I don't get that in the scripture, but it is possible that whoever did this thing will be set free from Egypt. Some people will still be in Egypt. And they'll be asking who is doing them. That's Christianity today. Disobedience. Who is doing it? Like, who cares who is doing it? Who cares? Walk in obedience. But you're not walking in obedience. I'm stuck somewhere and I'm wondering who is doing it. I'm wondering if I need an anointed man, I need something more anointing. Come on, it really is not more anointing, it's just disobedience. Many times, one can be stuck in Egypt because of disobedience. Amen? Well, for lack of, to switch the words a little bit, maybe we'll just say stubbornness. Maybe we'll just say stubbornness. I'm just trying to switch that disobedience. Disobedience seems too tough. We're just stubborn. Set in our own ways. I don't like bitter leaf. You say don't make it. I don't like it. I sat there. I was stubborn. And so the Lord can bring some instruction into our lives to help us, but we say no. But I'm saying stubborn now, but I just want to be nice. So because somebody will say, man, now you should disobey. What about if you are just stubborn? And we're hindering the work of God in your life. You have to watch that. Your obedience will be required. Stubbornness will have to go. Do these things. Do it like this. Change. You know, I spoke to you about this earlier this year. Change is very important. Change. You know, I need to change. It tells you change. Stop doing this. Start doing this. You have to do it. Your obedience will be required for your deliverance. Very important. Are we here?
Yes,
step number 7. It's not to hear this. You have to pay attention and you have to find that place that thing he wants you to do and begin to obey. And in the obedience, bam, you just cross over. You just come out. The obedience, simple. Nothing could hold them anymore. So it's just obedience they needed now. And your obedience don't mean God is not working. The fact that you are working does not mean God is not working. I think that's something that religious folks, that will help some religious folks. Why am I doing this? Why do I need to do this? So they kill the lamb, they slaughter the lamb, they put the blood, they are doing all that, and then, come on. It's as if it means God is not working. If God is working, if you come to that point, then you not do anything. So, how did Naaman get clean? Come on. Was it the Jordan River or was it God? Come on. You should be in church today right now. This is what I'm sharing is very important. You should be here. If you're not here, I'm sorry. Come on. Was it the Jordan River or was it God? Who healed him? Ah, seriously. I'm trying to look at your eyes. Some people are looking away. I want to see you. Was it the Jordan River or was it God? It was God. Okay. Where's the Jordan River? Why go to the Jordan? Why did you go to the river, Jordan? Because obedience was required. You get that now? God is walking. Doesn't mean I won't do anything. Very important. You understand that? I say this because of religion. And my point number 7, because what I'm doing right now, when number 6 and 7, why they are important, you might say you are stuck. I'm not stuck. I'm not even trying to stop. I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to teach you. Point number 6 and point number 7 will carry you all through the wilderness. All through the wilderness. All through. Step number 6 and step number 7, very important. So in step number 7, I told you something else. Come on, are you here? You're going to go through multiple seasons of trials and temptation. Right? It's going to happen. And so you see, from point number 6, step number 6, as this is the same point. Step number 6, they obey the instruction. They are free from Egypt. They begin to move. And then they are stuck again at the Red Sea. And so you see that he just set them free just now, and then just now there's another challenge in front of them. So you will go from one challenge to the other. And when I said this again, rattled a lot of people, I don't know if everybody, but I think a lot of people say, come on, what are you saying? I mean, I can't pray for you. If somebody says you shouldn't say that, I can't, but truthfully, in all sincerity, I can't pray for you not to have challenges. If I pray for you not to have challenges, I'm praying for you to die. That is die tomorrow morning. Or right now when you get home. That's the only way. If anybody prays that prayer for you, he's praying for you to actually die. In this world, you have tribulations, you have trials. That's what Jesus said. Jesus himself said that. So I said that on purpose. I wrote it. It was in my note. I said what I said because not as out of lack of meditation, but it is truth. To pray that prayer will be off because that will mean that you will not be on this earth. And because if you are here in John chapter number 16, please go move there. In John chapter number 16, you see that there? In verse number 33, I think we'll get that there. I'll show you several scriptures. These things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you that in me ye shall have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations. Tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You have tribulation. He says in the world. So if you are in the world, you will have them. It will happen. Things will come up. Because after they left Egypt, the land of bondage, they moved down and they faced the Red Sea. After the Red Sea, guess what? Technically, in study, it was not the wilderness. It was the Amorites, the giants they faced. It was because at this point, are you still here? At this point, they crossed Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. At this point, they disobeyed God. Now, guess what? They now went round and round and round in the wilderness. The wilderness was not the natural next step. The next step was again the giant. So, if we follow the story of the Israelites, they moved from Egypt slavery to Red Sea, and then the next thing they would have faced would have been the giants. But at the point of the giants, again, because they failed, stay with me, they failed step number 6 and step number 7. In step number 7, and I told you this last week. I began to work this. I wanted to go forward today, but I had to stop. In step number 7, I told you, he will stop and say, remember, I am the Lord thy God that led you out of the land of Egypt. It is in step number 7 that you get the victory to face the next step, the Amorites. If you will remember the Lord that brought you out of the land of Egypt, you will say, even these Amorites, they will also fall before me. They would have gone straight through to the promise of God for their lives, but they spent time in the wilderness, and then in the wilderness, they learned step number 6 and step number 7 again and again and again. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
They had to go, it was going to be a straight journey. So he says, in the world you have tribulations. Jesus said that. In the world you have tribulations. I showed you last week, we looked at this last week, and I just went breeze through it. But can we do that again? I want to do it again and do that again in 2 Samuel chapter number 21. I want to read, you see David again. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again. I'm going to do this fast because we did this last week. I just jumped into it last week. And I felt, when I did that, some people just felt, no, I don't want to have challenges. I mean, you want to die. It's the same thing. All right? Are you here? Moreover, the Philistines had yet a war again with Israel, and David went down. They had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. Next verse. And Ishbi-Nob, and which was son of the giant, which was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass, in weight being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Next verse. But Abishai, the son of Zerah, succored him and smote the Philistines and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, thou shalt not go more out with us to battle, that thou quent not the light of Israel. Next verse. And it came to pass after this, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai, the Israelites, blah, 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 blah. Next verse. And there was again a battle in Gob. So that's what I'm trying to show you, right? That you will get this battle again and again. Again and again. You see that now? You keep coming at you. The devil will keep coming at you. Things will keep coming at you. But you must remember the Lord thy God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. For us as believers in Christ, well, guess what? We must remember. When we consider the Lord thy God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, for us in Christ, Jesus today, guess what? We remember the Lord our God who sacrificed himself for us on the cross of Calvary. If he gave Jesus for me, no devil can stop me. A lot of people are in fear today, they are in bondage today, because they will not stop to remember the God who helped them. That is very important. Very important. So what he wanted to show them was, see, stop, remember, I have done this stuff for you. And now we can see that as we look back and look at their lives, we can see this is where they missed it. They thought that you will think that after Egypt, then it will be smooth sail from there. You know, if you stop and even consider, because people don't think before they react. If you stop and even consider your own lives, you find out that the challenge just keeps changing. There was a time you were trying to write JAMB so you could get admission. You wrote JAMB, maybe after first attempt, second attempt, got the admission. You were trying to get 2 A's, 1 B, and not get A, and try to change that C. If you are done with school right now. If you are done with school right now, A's and B's are useless to you. You can write A on a wall, write your name attached to it, it's useless to you. In fact, if you write 10 A's to your name and then they are paying you a certain amount of salary, A is no longer your problem, it's salary that's your problem now. Come on. Things just keep changing. When you wanted to start a business, you were happy you started a business, you were moved from working somewhere, starting a business. Now, guess what? To grow the business is an issue. Now, your business needs to grow. That's another challenge. You are not trying to raise capital now. You've raised the capital. Now, you have to grow the business. You know, I am a little bit understanding because the church has lost the concept of the Word of God and staying on the Word of God. And that is pitiful. But, I mean, we are blessed to have God's Word come to us like this in life. The Bible says something. It says, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean to you? See, that's the issue. What does that mean to you? The just shall live by his faith. What does that mean? It means you will need faith all your life. It means that when you come into Christ Jesus with faith, you will need it continuously. You don't dump it. See, let me help you here. You can dump your certificates. You might not need your certificates. You finished school and came into this stuff with your certificate, into working with your certificate. Maybe you get a job, you start working with your certificate. After 2 or 3 years, you get something else, you get a gig, and then you can abandon your certificate. You can start off with your certificate and abandon it. Are you here? So we come into Christ by what? By faith. And guess what? This just shall live by faith. That settles it. How did it settle it for you? You have to live by faith. Issues will come, challenges will come, but you continue to live by faith. For the scripture to only say the just shall live by faith, it means that we'll always have issues that will need our faith. Don't abandon your faith. You cannot abandon your faith. And the basis of your faith is in the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for you. So remember the Lord your God, so who sent his Son. It's only begotten Son to die for you. And when I have Jesus in my heart, and I put Jesus in front of me like that, I remember. And I say, no, when I have that in front of me, I do that. There's no obstacle, there's no devil that can stand against me. So when I say the devil really can't do anything, it's not just because there's a level of spiritual something, it's because I can remember that the Lord is with me. Come on. The Lord is with me. And he who gave his only Son for me, right, and now is with me. Come on, right now, how much more will him freely give me all things? I remember Jesus. You must remember. That is why he keeps saying, I'm the Lord thy God. Remember, I'm the Lord thy God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I'll give you some scriptures to show you that. Who brought you out of the land. He keeps referring. He never refers. You know, you shout the Red Sea. You shout the Red Sea. He doesn't really refer to it. He refers to the land of Egypt. If you see how I did that thing, if you know who did that thing, if you know, remember that I did that thing, there's nothing else I will not do for you. If you remember that, then you will get to the wilderness, then you get to the giants, you get to see any challenge in your life, there's no water. Guess what? They began to shout. There's bread, there's no... Normally, what should I have done? You just say, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. You know, you provided for us. You helped us come out of Egypt. Once you begin to recount like that, come on, you need to recount like that. Come on. You just look at that and say, even these giants will be like that too. That's how you remember. The guy faced lion. After lion, he faced bear. After bear, he faced Goliath. After Goliath, he faced Philistines. And he kept on facing them and he kept on going by faith. Yes, sir. Brothers and sisters, if you are not facing new challenges, it means you are stuck in your life. And you say, that's God. That's not God. It means you are not making progress. I told you sometime in my life, I told you growing up and working with God, that when you get to a place of comfort and I see that everything is stable, guess what? Truthfully, And I do it. I take up a new challenge. I find something to fight. When you don't find something to fight, your faith becomes stale and you begin to rot. You begin to rot. You do dumb stuff, stupid stuff, and you won't know how. And they wonder, why. Because you don't go to battle. A rot. That's a rot. No challenge. Someone says, my life is just cool like this, flat. Can't be flat. Once I see you are flat, I remember we see you are flat. Look at it, you look at our church, look at our finances, we're stable, we're going out of the church. I said, all right, let's set up another location. We can set up another location. Let's train another pastor. How do you train a pastor? You are done. If you are done, then you are stuck. You can't be done till you are done out of this place. Till you are getting out of this place, you're not done. So find, even find. Goliath was on his own when David went to find him. Comfort zone will never anybody living in comfort zone will not see progress. The only way, in fact, you know you are progressing when there are new challenges in front of you. When there are new challenges in front of you, you know you are making progress. I mean, if you are stuck in school and you are still writing 2 A's, 3 B's, and you are stuck for there forever, you have been stuck in school writing 3 A's, 2 B's, 5 B's forever for the past 7 years, you know that, come on, that's a bad thing. Come on. You finish that thing, then guess what? You have to look for do something else. Then you get a job. You get a job and you say, I want to get something even better than what I had. You're going to keep fighting challenges. They kept on fighting issues here. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 4, can I show you Luke chapter number 4? Verse number 13. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 13. The fact that you're moving from one trial to another actually means that you are making progress. Brothers and sisters, don't let those people out there deceive you. There are a lot of false prophets out there, a lot of people talking nonsense, a lot of people teaching things that are antichrist. And when you have challenges in your life, they tell you that you are bad, that something is wrong with you. That's terrible. I mean, you know why? That's when Jesus Christ was going through stuff. They said he must be the devil. Did they come and kill me, nail me to the cross? They didn't nail any of them to the cross. Why? Because they had nothing to do in their lives. But the Son of God came and he faced challenges. He faced oppositions. And they killed him. And then he rose up again in power. He said, "Don't feel anything. I don't have to have this now. Peledo." Look at the person telling you Peledo. Look at his life. There's nothing happening there. It's not because super Christian. You expect that it's just smooth, that you're not going to face anything. So you're going to face challenge. You're going to leave Egypt, and you're going to face the Red Sea. And when you are done with the Red Sea, then you are supposed to normally face the Amorites, the giants. That's the normal sequence. The wilderness was because they failed the sequence. They failed to see. After he did number one, got them out of Egypt, did number two, crossed the Red Sea, he was wrought. The Bible says, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says God was wrought with them. They said, "We're not going. Do you want to kill us?" Stop. Have you thought about it? You guys are bad. No. 40 years, we stay here. You're not going anywhere. Me? I just got you out of Egypt. I want to kill you. You just brought the blessing. Are you blind? No one. These guys are staying here. He was wrath. Yes. He was wrath. That's God. He was angry. He said, "In my wrath," he said, "nobody, none of you will see that land. Never." What do you want me to do? I've demonstrated my power for you. I'll show you scriptures. Don't worry. Don't mind me. Let me show you. So it was going to be normal. They were going to go to 1, 2, 3. You're going to face all those things like that. But they refused. They stopped. They didn't see. And many a time, the truth is, why we are even stuck in our lives that we've not stopped. Let me tell you, God has been so good to me. So real. There has been reality. I've been in dungeon, deep, dark, bad places. And he has saved me and helped me. And that is my faith rests there. And then my faith goes beyond that. And it goes to the cross of Jesus Christ. Somebody says, "I should be afraid. There are 3 people in my village." I said, the person who said that, the 3 people who said in the village, the person who said I should be afraid of them, they are all together dumb. Because for me, God gave his only begotten son. I remember the blood of Jesus. I remember the price paid for my life. And then you can't take my life from me. It's not a statement of pride or something or too much Bible. It's not a statement of a pastor. It's a statement of a believer who sees the work that we've done. I say, "I remember you are the Lord, the God, my God. You brought me out of the land of Egypt. Delivered me out of this darkness and brought me to your marvelous light." And so forward. This Goliath, this issue, this Red Sea will also go down. That is faith. That's how it ought to be. And so whatever you are in your life, it's not strange. that you are going through trials. It's not a strange thing. You should. If you're going through trials, it means that you are making progress. Things are just not seen. It means you are making progress. Some people are trying to build the next to a comfortable place. They want to be comfortable, settle, and say, oh, I'm done. And then, thou fool, tonight, your soul will be required of you. That's what he says. The rich man, God's man, says, this is where I'm building towards. I mean, you can't build to stay and now become, you don't do that. With God and in this world, guess what? You build, and if there's no challenges in front of you, you go make one. I'm telling you, go make one. He says, all right, I have this expansion now. I'm going to expand. I'm going to go further. I'm going to employ more people, change more lives, and do more stuff. Yeah, that's the only way. Pastor, do you have a church? Yes, we have a church. Do you want to set up another one? Yes, we're setting up another one. Are you looking at setting up another one? Yes, we want to set up another one. This world will never reach you. No, this world will never reach me. No. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. That's how your life should be. You move from here and you move there. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, guess what? He was there. Devil ended his temptation. He departed from him for a season. Because the just shall live by faith. We will never take our shield of faith, resist the enemy, and go and dump that shield. That shield of faith, come on, the shield of faith, it will always be there. You always need the shield of faith. You always need the shield of faith. It's very important. Come on. You stay in one place, you are in a rut, and you'll be sure that there will be no new challenges in your life. But if you are making progress, there will be challenges in your life. Are you still here? Every time you attempt to go forward, you will encounter the devil. Every time you attempt to go forward, you find that the children of Israel, they always wanted to go back to Egypt. You know why? They'll face a challenge. They'll say, oh, let's just go back to Egypt. Come on. They face a challenge. Oh, let's go back to Egypt. Because they don't want to face challenges. They rather just stayed in Egypt where God delivered them from. Egypt became a place of comfort for them. Egypt, a place of comfort. Who would want to go back to Egypt? You see the secret now. You see the real reason now. Place of comfort. A place of comfort. They wanted to go back to Egypt because they were comfortable there. They were comfortable in Egypt. Somebody says, for every new level, there's a new devil. When you face the new devil, what do? You say, let's just stay where we are. Let's just go back. And that's terrible. That's the hindrance. So you're not making progress because you're afraid of challenges. I'll take up a new challenge. Come on. Come on. I'll take up a new challenge. I thought you said that. I'll take up a new challenge. Go on in faith. Go on in faith. I'm going to show you some scriptures just now. Go on in faith. Take up a new challenge. I'm not afraid of the Red Sea. I'm not afraid of the Red Sea. No, I'm not afraid of the Red Sea. Because God just delivered me from Egypt. No, well, you know, there was a time there was no hope. You know, somebody complaining about stuff right now. But right now, where you are right now to complain about it, you could say, I don't have a car. There was a time you didn't think of trying to have a car. Now you are in a position because all those other things have been solved. Guess what? You are now in this place and you're not saying, oh, now I need a car, I don't have a car. And then people start to complain and start to murmur. You're supposed to stand and say, the same God who helped me. Please, as good as the God of, the same God who healed Rebecca, the same God who is, I like those guys. Those guys are Bible guys. Look at your own life. God has helped you mightily to stop and say, see, there was a time. There was a time these things were not like this. I say, God will help me through that. He will help me through this one too. And then you stand. That's how it should be. Nothing for a season. So, I mean, I've tried to establish. I think I've established that. Let me show you Matthew chapter number 16, 8 and 10. And I'll show you Psalm 106. Matthew chapter number 16. Okay, we can start from... from number 5, put it in verse number 5. All right, let's do that. And when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Next verse, please. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. You see now, take ye of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They say, oh, we didn't bring bread. He said, you don't have faith. And look at what he says. Why reason among ye yourselves because ye have brought no bread? You should know by now, right? That bread is not an issue. I can solve that problem. Do you not yet, do you not yet what? Understand. Now, I like the way he phrased, you not yet understand, neither remember. Either this or that. If you understand it, you will see, if you understand and you have this basis now, you will see that bread is not an issue. If you don't understand it, right, at least remember it. Remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Question, come on. Do you not what? Understand, or neither do you what? Remember. I've come to understand God. Come on. I've come to understand God. He's faithful. But if his understanding is hard, then try to remember your own life. Try to remember your life. That's why people begin to sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. You remember, count, try and see that. But it's the truth. Count, remember, he has brought you out of a great deal of trouble many times. You are still standing at all today because God has been with you. And then you now see something in front of you and you are telling me as if the world wants to end and you want to cast off your faith. Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith. So, do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5,000? So, they were there. These fellows, they were there. He saw the miracle pass through their hands because they took the bread and they were giving it to the people. They were breaking the bread, they were giving the fish, and it was multiplying. Now, these same fellows say, oh, we didn't bring bread. Ah, that's why this guy is complaining. Like, you should know by now that bread is not my problem. Come on. This was way past water to wine. Way past water to wine. Way past it. And they knew. They partook of that miracle also. The Bible said Jesus was there with his disciples. And they knew what happened. They recorded it, and so they knew that this was the first miracle. And that is, there's no bread. And guess what? And they are thinking that it's because they didn't carry bread. If you like, carry bread. If you like, don't carry bread. I can multiply bread. I can make bread. That's not an issue. But the key for me here is, do you not understand, neither remember? In Psalm 106, I'll show you again. Psalm 106. If you get point number 7, step number 7, it will be easy for you to face the Amorites and begin to immediately enjoy the promised land. If you miss this step, very vital step, you will be stuck in the wilderness. Stuck in the wilderness. In Psalm 106, verse 7, they understood not the wonders what in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of his members. They did not understand, neither did they remember. You see the same thing again?
Yes,
if you don't understand it, his love and his mercy and his grace in your life, he says at least remember it.
Wow.
Remember it. Why does God love me? I don't understand. But I remember that he loves me.
Yes,
and because I remember that he loves me, I keep going forward. No matter the enemies in front of me. No matter the challenges in front of me.
Yes, sir.
So, our fathers, they did not understand, they did not remember. The same thing again. We have to get this. Because once you get this, if you get step number 7, the truth is, it does not mean that teaching you that you continue facing challenges does not mean challenges will not come. You don't know. But you move to the next point. And the next thing they would have faced would have been the Amorites. The giants. That's the next thing. Wilderness was not a story, was not a part of their story. It was not a part of God's plan for them. You know that, right? The wilderness, the 40 years in the wilderness was so that the people who went into the land And the people who did not believe God, right, they will not enter into the promised land. So he said they should just go round and round 40 years. So we see that this step is very important. And this step is very simple, funny, like all the steps, very simple. No matter the challenges you are facing today, you just need to remember the goodness of God. Remember God. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember that he gave his life for yours. That means no man can hurt me. No situation in front of me is bigger than God. And see how valuable I am to God. He gave his only begotten son for me. And so this challenge would have to go down. I mean, he did the biggest work in my life when he redeemed me from the hand of Satan. This is not just a challenge. This is Satan, a devil, and all his angels. I was held in captivity by Satan, not through challenges. And he came and redeemed me. He gave his life for me, shed his blood for me. And so right now, I remember that. There's this song we sing, "I Remember All You've Done For Me." I think it's a good song. But we just sing it and pass. Then you see, now I'm singing, and I say, oh, there's a connection. There's a real connection. The victory, he defeated Satan. And now you don't have finances somewhere, there's one thing, come on. And then we are afraid. You should not have fear in your life. What God has done in your life should boost your faith and should help you walk in faith. Let me show you Exodus chapter number 20. So we take three things from here: the importance of a relationship with God, the just shall live by faith, the important relationship with God, which ties to the just shall live by faith, rather two things, and remembrance of what he has done for us. Those things, as simple as they are, those two points I've given to you, they are very strong weapons. Say, "Pastor, I don't know all the chapter and verse of Bible." You should learn the scriptures. You should know the scriptures. But truthfully, you should remember the things that he has done for you. Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 2. "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." He says that. He starts to say, this is me. So when he wants to identify himself, come on, he says this: Egypt. You talk about the other many things. He says, if you remember this, if you get this right, then we can go through all the other things. Right? In Psalm 81 and verse number 10, I'll show you Psalm 81 and verse number 10. Let me just give you three. Psalm 81 and verse number 10. He says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Then he now gives them an instruction: "Open your mouth wide, and I will what? Fill it." Can we just read the next verse? "But," you see that now? "My people will not hearken to my voice, and Israel will none of me." So, he begins to rebuke them. And where does it start from? What is the only thing he recounts? He doesn't recount the Red Sea. That is in the way. "The first thing I did for you, the first thing is that deliverance brought you out of the land of Egypt." You see that now? It is key. That is supposed to be the basis upon which your faith rests. So if I tell you, open your mouth wide, open your mouth. If I say jump, jump. Remember, I am the Lord thy God, we brought you out of the land of Egypt. So right now you are facing stuff in your life. Right now things are tough. Remember, I am Lord thy God, we brought you out of the land of Egypt. And I'm telling you, do this. And you are saying you will not do it. Why will you not do it? And I... That's right. Remember me. Then he goes to the land of Egypt. That is very important that we understand that all the other challenges will fall flat if we remember the first victory that the Lord has given to us. And really, our first victory is not the money you got last year, truthfully. Our first victory is not the job you just got. That's good. But that's not really the first. The real first victory is when he ripped you out of the hands of Satan and gave you new life. You see, he loves me so much. He cares for me so much. He fought a great battle. He died on the cross, shed his blood, and he ripped me, got me out of the land of Egypt, and brought me into this life. And so if he has gone this far for me, I have confidence, I have faith, that the Amorites, the giants, they too also will fall down before my face. And so he was wrought with them. I think you can begin to understand why he was wrought with them. I've done one, I've done two, and here I am trying to talk to you about this stuff, and then you're still having issues with me. In this verse, I can annotate this verse a little bit before I go today. It says, but my people will not hearken to my voice, and Israel will not of me. Because, again, remember I told you just now in the course of my teaching that point number 6 and step number 7 will come together. Right? Because when you face a new challenge, he will give you instructions again. He give you instructions. Now, he was going to give them instructions again, but they will not hearken to his voice. There are going to be things to do. So you're going to keep walking with God. That's why I'm not talking about a relationship with God. Right? Because if you read through scriptures, there are several times it says this, I'm the Lord thy God, Egypt, brother, over 30 times, over 30 at least. But the thing is, he always reminds them of that. He always says those things, this, I'm the Lord thy God, I brought you out of Egypt. Whenever he's telling them to do something and they are not doing it, and they find it difficult, and they are finding it difficult, they are afraid, that's when he says, remember, this is me, this is the person talking to you. You see that now? This is the person talking to you. They are afraid, or they will not hearken to his voice. He reminds them, I am the Lord thy God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In 2 Kings chapter number 17 and verse number 35. I think we just take 35. 2 Kings chapter number 17 and verse number 35. With whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. The next verse says, but the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and outstretched arm, him shall ye fear and shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. You see that now? He identifies himself with them. Guess what? The Lord who brought you out of Egypt. You talk about the fire, the Red Sea. I keep saying that because a lot of times we forget Egypt. Nobody really talks about Egypt. The real point where believers need to sing their songs is the Red Sea. It's the Red Sea. But the Red Sea is not the first thing. He brought you out of the land of Egypt. That is the first thing. He redeemed you. This is where you might just want to say, I'm redeemed. Redeemed you. Before he gave you a job, before he gave you a husband, before he gave you all those things, he redeemed you. It's good if you can remember all those things. It's good to remember all those things. But he redeemed you. He says, relax. He says, fear me. Remember, I'm Lord thy God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, having done that, Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, he says, he who has begun a good work. You see now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work is faithful. He will bring it, he will perform it until the end. Being confident of this very thing. You see confidence there? That he who has begun a good work. If you read through the scriptures, I'll do this again. If you read through the scriptures, I'm going to come next week, I'm going to just play around this again. Very well. I'm going to emphasize this. I'm going to spend some time here. The thing is, you see, being confident of this very thing, He which has begun a good work. The thing is, this work in my life, this work in your life, started by God. Come on. He started this thing in your life. He will finish it. He doesn't abandon projects. You will not face a challenge that is bigger than him. If he could not deal with this challenge, he wouldn't have started already in the first place. But he started. If he started it, it's because he wants to see you to the ending. So I can tell you assuredly, this water will not swallow you. This fire will not burn you. Why your amen is very important and very true, and it's good you say amen. The reason for which I say it confidently is because the Lord has started a work in your life. He redeemed you because he loves you. All the force of heaven, they're already behind you right now. So I am confident. That's why Paul could say, I'm being confident of this very thing. If I started it in your life, you could be shaking because I know if he completes it. I might not even like you halfway through the journey. But the God that started it in your life He called you to himself. He has seen everything. He has seen your whole life from beginning to ending. And then he says, all right, I will start. The reason why he said, I will start, is because he knows that you have enough to complete it. So when you face a giant, he who had begun this work in my life. You know, he told us, he said, if you want to build something, right? Right? You want to build a tower. He said, you first of all, count the cost first, right? When he took your life, you think he didn't count the cost? When he took the children of Israel and he said, I want to deliver, when he called upon his name and he said, I will bring you out of the land of Egypt, you think he didn't think about the Red Sea? He forgot about the giants. So why were they afraid? If only they had Apostle Paul to tell them, being confident of this very thing, he who led you out of Egypt will lead you into the promised land. Maybe they would have walked in faith. Maybe they didn't need Apostle Paul. Maybe they needed Pastoriel to tell them. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
somebody blessed today?
Yes,
thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just trust God that by this teaching, faith will be built up in your heart. That we don't need to shout. We don't need to run around the place. That as you go through this week, you go through and look into your life and look at the challenges that you are facing, you will no longer be afraid. You no longer be afraid. That there will be faith in your heart. And the faith will be, he who began a good work in my life. He calculated it. He saw all the giants. He saw the Red Sea. He saw the land before me. And he said, all right, let's start. When he says let's start, it's because he knew that he can finish it. You are the one facing the giant. You are the one saying that you are seeing the giant. But the guy knew that he would be able to finish it. He wouldn't have started if he would not be able to finish. So when you face the giant now, come on. Can you look at your life now? Look at something you are facing, something difficulty that maybe that's not even coming to your life, that's coming in front of you. Things that will happen in your life. Somebody say, nobody knows tomorrow. No matter what tomorrow brings, come on. He who began a good work. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but tomorrow will bring. But he already knew what tomorrow will bring for my life. And then he chose to start. It means that he will be able to finish. Will you bow your head this morning and say, Father, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I place my hope in you. My confidence is in you. The money will come. The giants will fall. The Red Sea will be parted. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I'm confident in your love. I'm confident in your love. I'm confident in your grace. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Come on. Good things. All the good things you promised for my life. All the good things you promised for my life. I receive them. I'll walk in them. I'll enjoy them. Right now, there seems to be a great opposition before me. I seem to have escaped Egypt. Now I am before the Red Sea. And somebody say, Pastor, I've already escaped the Red Sea. Right now, I'm before the land, but there are giants in the land. He said, Father God, I'm not afraid. Father, I'm not afraid. For you are with me. For you are with me. For you have begun this work in my life. I'm not afraid. I'm confident in your love. I'm confident in your love. I'm confident in your power. You came down from heaven and you snapped me out of destruction. Lifted me out of the miry clay. You set my feet upon a rock. Now I stand. No giant can scare me now. No waves of the sea can bother me now. My faith is in you. My trust is in you. My hope is in you. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I walk by faith. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Will you pray this morning? This is a very important step. The step where we lay our trust, where we put our trust in God, where we remember the Lord our God. The Bible says some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we remember the name of the Lord our God. While they are brought down, fallen, we stand upright. Remember the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Remember your God. Come on. Remember all the good things he has done in your life. Remember, he has multiplied the loaves before. Come on. And now you say, I have no bread. He fed you when there was no bread. There was nothing. He sustained you. Today you are afraid. Come on. Come on. It's time to say, Lord, my faith is in you. My faith is in you. I remember all you have done for me. I remember Calvary. I remember the cross and the price that was paid for my life. Now I'm not afraid for my life. No man can take my life. No man can bring me down. Because you lifted me up on the cross of Calvary. You showed me your love. Come on. Remember all the good things he has done for you. Remember the foundation, Calvary. I'm the Lord your God. I saved you from destruction. Saved you from hell. Delivered you from sin and death. Oh, now nothing can stand against me. Now I'm not afraid. So, come on, it's time for you to pray. Every challenge in front of you, every challenge coming in front of you, coming later this year. Don't be afraid of your tomorrow. I'm not scared now. I remember. I know my God. I know my God. I know my God. Oh, come on. I'm not afraid. I know my God. I remember him. He helped me. When I faced the lion, he helped me. When I faced the bear, he helped me. Even Goliath too will go down. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Brothers and sisters, we are not afraid of challenges. We are not saying challenges will not come. We are saying, come. I have a big God. I have a big God. I have a great God. I have a big God. I have a mighty God. Come on, brothers and sisters, we're not afraid. The challenge is in front of us. You know why people are afraid of challenges? Because they don't know the power of their God. Say, no, I don't want anything to come near me. No, this rock, I should be here. Because they don't know God. I don't care what comes. In this world, the Bible says we'll have tribulations. But say, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So it's going to be one challenge to the other. From one that was not so scary to one that even seems worse. The Egyptians, they were not punishing them as slaves. The Red Sea was to swallow. Giants to kill. Come on. It was just tough. Look at it. In front of them. And they say, why are you talking about challenges? Just let's pray that we'll not help them. I don't care. I have a big God. I have a great God. You say, what about August? The way things are going, just bad. I have a big God. I have a great God. I remember my God. He delivered me from the land of Egypt, from the land of slavery, from the land of bondage, and confidence of this very thing. I'm confident of this very thing. So challenges are bred for us. You know, Caleb and Joshua said that. These giants, they are bred for us. By my God, David said, I leap over a wall. We just keep leaping over them. At the sound of the voice of God, the mountains tremble and they skip like lambs. Let God arise. Before him, they will melt like wax before the fire.
We serve a great God. So someone says, Pastor, I'm in the midst of something right now, and I'm afraid that you swallow me. I speak to you. That challenge, that obstacle, that difficulty will not swallow you. It will not kill you. In the name of Jesus, the Lord your God that delivered you from the hands of Satan, brought you out of darkness into his light, the Lord your God is with you. He will deliver you out of this challenge also. He will see you through. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will come out with victory. You will come out victorious. In the mighty name of Jesus, as you remember the Lord and you see his goodness, your faith is strong. Your faith is strong. And I'm confident concerning your life that he who has begun a good work in your life will complete it. He will bring you to the end. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let this strengthen your faith and go on in faith. You have a big God who have begun something great in your life, and he will see you to the end. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you for great and mighty deliverance. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your redemption. Thank you because we have been redeemed. You have called us by name. You know us. And so no challenge will stand before us successfully. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the victory you've given to us. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We are world overcomers. We are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for healing for the body, for your bodies right now. For all those right now who need a healing for their body, need something, need that healing touch. Thank you for healing for their bodies right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your great supply. You multiply the loaves and the fish and fed 5,000. Thank you, Father. We remember your good works. We remember your works. And we trust you. We trust you. We're not afraid. We place our faith in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for great and mighty miracles. Great and mighty miracles in our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.